From Berean Free Presbyterian Church, we present Let the Bible Speak. Please have your Bible ready and stay with us as the Reverend Philip Owen opens the Scriptures to Let the Bible Speak.
Hello, thank you for tuning in today as we seek to let the Bible speak for itself. Did you know that these common expressions come from God's Word? In the sweat of thy face, the time is short. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Of course, we usually say whatsoever goes around comes around. Beware of dogs, except it isn't referring to the four-legged kind. There is no new thing under the sun. The little foxes that spoil the vines, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It is interesting how everyday cliches have come from the Bible, indeed indicating our biblical heritage. If you desire to receive the quarterly magazine called Let the Bible Speak, free of charge, please leave your address on our answering machine, 941-3199, or write to the address given at the end of the program. May the Lord bless you again this day. day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. May I give you some facts about the Christian Sabbath or Lord's Day? The Sabbath is not a Jewish institution. It dates back long before the Ten Commandments, and even they are not Jewish. The Sabbath was instituted by God at creation, Genesis 2. There is evidence that nations other than Israel observed the Sabbath from earliest times. After their deliverance, we read of the restoration in the wilderness of the well-known, though neglected, Sabbath institution, Exodus 16. At Sinai, the Sabbath was included in the Decalogue, the summary of God's moral law, and a revelation of His nature. The fourth commandment is the only one beginning, "Remember." It is the longest and most detailed of the ten. To break it is as serious as killing or adultery, James 2, verses 10 and 11. It links both the God-word and the man-word aspects of the moral law. Christ abolished the ceremonial law, but not the moral law. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, Matthew 5:17. He said that anyone who violated the moral law would be least in the kingdom of God, Matthew 5:19. The Lord Jesus kept the Sabbath holy. He taught that works of mercy and necessity could be performed on the Sabbath, Matthew 12:11 and 12. Christ hallowed the first day of the week when He rose from the dead, John 20, verses 1 and following. The risen Lord appeared to His disciples on the first day, 1 week later, John 20:26. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was on the first day of the week. Compare Acts 2:1 with Leviticus 23:15. Christ, being Lord of the Sabbath, thus transferred the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day. The apostles kept the first day of the week, Acts 27 and 1 Corinthians 16:2. In the Greek, the name Sabbath is applied to the first day of the week, Matthew 28:1. It soon became known as the Lord's Day, Revelation 1:10. The Lord's Day is the Christian Sabbath. Irenaeus, an early believer, said, "On the Lord's Day, every one of us Christians keeps the Sabbath, meditating on the law, rejoicing in the works of God." Tertullian, in the year 200, says, "Every eighth day, that is the day after the last of the previous week, is the Christian's festival." Ambrose declares, "The Lord's Day was consecrated by the resurrection of Christ." Athanasius wrote, "The Lord transferred the Sabbath to the Lord's Day." Christian martyrs were asked before they died, "Do you keep the Lord's Day?" It speaks of the spiritual rest enjoyed by the Christian, Hebrews 4:9. It speaks of the perpetual rest to come in heaven. The Sabbath is part of God's moral law, is binding upon all men, not just Christians. The Lord's Day was, sadly, the heritage of our nation. The Lord's Day is a day of joy and gladness, not gloom. Psalm 118, verse 24. The Sabbath is made for man, Mark 2:27. It is a day in which we should undertake as little work or travel as absolutely necessary. Just as we don't keep circumcision but baptism, and that we don't keep the Passover but the Lord's Supper, so we do not keep the Jewish Sabbath but the Lord's Day. Speaking of the gospel age, Isaiah says, "Blessed is the man that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it." Beza, a reformer, said, "The day of the Sabbath continued from the creation of the world to the resurrection of our Lord, when it was at length changed by the apostles into the Lord's Day. The Christian Sabbath has been kept and honored by all the holy men of God: Wesley, Whitfield, Edwards, Brainerd, McShane, Bonner, Spurgeon, Mueller, Livingston, and others. The fourth commandment does not determine which day of the week we should keep as a Sabbath, but only that we should keep every seventh day or one day after six. Therefore, the change from the seventh to the first day, the Lord's Day, is essential to the spiritual welfare of the nation. It is the Sabbath day which is to be kept holy, not merely part of the day. The weekly Sabbath is a reminder of our covenant relationship with God, Exodus 20:20. Chapter 21, Section 7 of the Westminster Confession, adopted by the Presbyterian and other Reformed churches, says, "As it is of the law of nature that, in general, a due proportion of time be set aside for the worship of God. So in His Word, by a positive, moral, and perpetual command, binding all men in all ages, He hath particularly appointed one day in seven for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto Him. It strengthens family ties. It is an indispensable preparation for the heavenly blessedness. It safeguards the interest of the workman. It affords opportunities for the proclamation of the gospel of the grace of God. It acts as a weekly reminder to fallen man that there is a God in heaven who claims his allegiance and worship. If we love the Lord, we'll love his day, for our obedience to his command is a proof of that love, John 14:21. We should use the Lord's day to testify of the risen Lord. We should take an active stand against further secularization of this blessed day. The Sabbath is more commercialized today than ever. May the Lord help us to keep the Sabbath holy. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Our gracious Father, we again ask Thee to help us to understand Your Word. We pray that Thou will quicken us, for we easily become dull and senseless. We know, Lord, that Thy Word is alive, and so make us alive to it. May we see it more than print on a page. We pray that Thou wilt speak to our hearts from the Scriptures. They are a revelation of Christ. We desire to see Him, for if we behold Him, we shall be like Him. And we pray in His name. Amen. I'd like to focus on a statement in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah in the Old Testament Scriptures. Chapter 53, verse 3. He, that is Jesus, is despised and rejected of men. This message really could be entitled, Admire and Receive Christ, or else Be Despised and Rejected. But it tells us that He is despised and rejected of men. This was a prophecy. This is history because of the cross of Calvary. And this is also taking place today. He is despised and rejected of men. The word despise speaks of that which is toward someone's person and reputation and name. The word means to count worthless, to be unnecessary, to be vile. It's used of Esau's birthright being despised. Goliath, the giant, despising Israel. A poor man's wisdom being looked down upon, but justly used of a vile person who is despised. So the Lord Jesus Christ's person was despised of men, as if He was at Calvary for His own sins, as if Christ's person was without value, without merit. And as long as anyone remains in a sinful state, they too really despise the Lord Jesus Christ's person. And it says He's rejected of men. This word rejection speaks of regarding someone's work as a failure. Job regarded his kinsfolk as failures, for they cut him off and they weren't there in his aid when the going got difficult for him. It speaks of someone's work being fizzled out. It's as if Christ's teaching and preaching and healing and example were of no value, of no lasting benefit. So He is despised and rejected of men. And perhaps that's your state today. You despise Christ's person and you reject His work. Oh, friend, may you see that He ought to be admired and received. Secondly, may I say that Christ can be admired and yet rejected? Someone can admire His person and yet reject His work. Many say that He was a good person, an exemplary son and neighbor, citizen, brother, and teacher. But essentially, they reject His work by claiming their own self-righteousness. They admire His person. They're glad to talk about Him in church. They're glad to even tell their children stories about Jesus. But when you get right down to it, you ask, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I'll live a good life. I go to church. I give tithes. I'm good to people. I teach my children morality. Friend, essentially you're rejecting the work of Christ. Why was Christ at the cross? He was wounded for our transgressions. His work was so that our works would not lead us to hell. For all our righteousnesses, all our works are as filthy rags as we compare them with an infinitely holy God. It's easy to talk about Jesus and yet reject His work. The Scripture says you can honor Him with your lips, but your heart can be far from Him. One can admire His person, but reject His work. We must admire His person and receive His work. Thirdly, it is possible to despise His person, but accept His work. He is despised, but accepted of men. How many would reject Christ in their conversation and in their thoughts and in their lives, but they would receive His benefit, the benefit of His cross work. You ask someone, well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, Jesus died for me. They want to claim His cross and His blood. But again, you get right down to it. They just want a fire escape from hell. But they would not want Christ in heaven. Heaven to them is just no hell. But folks, Heaven is Christ. And heaven has begun here to receive Christ as Savior. He can be despised in his person, but accepted in his work. People would accept his cross work and his work to deliver sinners from hell. But right down to it again, people don't talk about him in their homes, think about them in their thoughts, speak of him in their workplaces and out in the marketplaces. How often do we meet with people at Lafayette Square that say they know Jesus and believe in the cross work and would even claim the crucifixion and the resurrection for themselves? But they don't want to talk about Jesus when you're right there with him at the street. He's despised, but yet they would receive his work. But really, folks, you can't despise his person and receive his work and be right with him. You can't admire his person and reject his work and be right with him. He ought to be admired and received of men. You see, I love Christ, not just what he did for me. Oh, I'm thankful for what Christ did for me. He died for me and he lives for me. But I love him because he first loved me. I love him for who he is. He's my elder brother. He's my Savior, my Lord, my God. Lovest thou me more than these? He asked Peter. Do you love me? It's easy to leave your first love and love the secondary things. But Christ desires and demands our love for him. He is altogether lovely. Yes, his work is altogether lovely. You can't separate his work from his person. But it's easy to just love his work and not realize who worked for me. Who died for me? Who lives for me? He is the desire of nations. He is the chiefest, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I admire Christ. I love him. I receive him. And of course, I receive his works. I thank God for his works. Without Christ's works, I have no hope. Without his perfect life to be credited to my account, I was dead in trespasses and sins. My life was a life of works righteousness. And God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God made or constituted him to be sin for me who knew no sin, that I who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him. I receive his work, his perfect life and his substitutionary death. He died for me. He suffered the strokes of man's and devil's and God's wrath. Christ exhausted the wrath of God at Calvary for me. I admire him and I receive his work. What about you, friend? Christ is no longer on trial. We sing that song, What Will You Do With Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, What will he do with me? You see, now we're on trial. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to move our hearts, to give us new hearts that admire and receive Christ. But the truth of the matter is, admire and receive Christ, or else be despised and rejected. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Receive him today. Admire him today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Berean Free Presbyterian Church, located in Boston, New York, just 35 minutes south of Buffalo, off Route 219. You may write to Pastor Phil Owen at Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. That's Berean Free Presbyterian Church, 8435 Boston State Road, Boston, New York, 14025. Or you may call the church at area code 716-941-3199. Area code 716-941-3199. Also be sure to visit our website at www.freepres.org. www.freepres.org. If you're free next Lord's Day, we invite you to come and worship with us. Sunday school for all ages is at 10 a.m. and the church services are at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We also have a midweek Bible study and prayer meeting on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll join us again at the same time next week as once more we let the Bible speak.